And around you is a little stream. And when you look up, you see the face of a gigantic rocky cliff. You can see the top, but it's hard to get there. You have to work really hard at it. But you can see as you peer up there this cave. And you wonder what goes on up there. Wonder if there are animals there. Wonder what that's all about. Well, that's Caesarea Philippi. I've been there. And it is one of the harshest areas of Israel. It's way up north. And it's so striking when you're standing there and you're looking up at the face of this cliff. Jesus is there with his disciples. And he asks them, "Who do you say I am?" If he asked each one of us, what would we say? Who is Jesus? There are people that don't know him. Some are new to us. Who is Jesus? Some said then, John the Baptist. Some said Elijah, a prophet from the Old Testament. Who do you say he is? Who is Jesus? Your best friend? Okay, what else? The Christ? The Savior?
Redeemer of all?
Redeemer of all. Anything else? Anything else? What were they expecting when it came to the Christ? Christ means anointed one. The name Messiah and the name Christ are exactly the same in the original language. Translators use either one, but they mean the same thing. The anointed one. What were they expecting? You have a people who are under the domination of the Roman Empire, and they are suffering, and they've suffered several exiles. Here they are. Rome is cruel. Rome is very cruel. And who are they waiting for? A king. They're waiting. They have in their minds, and they've been taught, that this Christ is going to save them. And in their minds, they're thinking, well, then he's going to be like a king. So what does a king act like? What does a king look like? Is a king walking around in the dust with sandals and a shepherd's robe? Carpenter's apron, maybe? Is this what they expected? They expected him to come in like he does in Revelation, on a white horse, ready to save. And if you haven't read that picture, you should. It's pretty fun. You go, yes, I can't wait to see that. That's when he comes as the conquering king of the earth. But this is striking, that Peter recognized him as the Christ when he had none of the trappings. None of it. What had he done so far? He'd healed people. He'd exorcised demons. What else had he done? He'd fed people. Remember the loaves and fishes we talked about? He fed people. He did other miracles. He raised Tabitha from the dead at this point. That's what he did, but that has nothing to do with a king. It has nothing to do with a king. That has to do with being a great prophet, being given power from God, but that's not what they were expecting the Messiah to be. And for Peter to recognize him truly came from God. Truly came from God. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, when asked the question that says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You know, a couple of sermons ago, remember when, maybe it was even last week, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "How can you be so dull?" I love that line. Love that line. How can you be so dull? And here is a moment of brilliance given from God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Again, picture Caesarea Philippi. You know what went on in that cave that I saw and that the disciples saw when they were standing there? That was called the gates of Hades. That's what that was. We think of it as the gates of hell. We think of, you know, the idea of the kingdom of evil. But this was a place called the gates of Hades. And there, the pagans sacrificed human beings to please the gods. And so when Jesus says, the gates of Hades, the evil of this world, will not prevail against my church. Not going to happen. The next part of the passage says, then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all of this quite openly. What did Peter do? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So much for his brilliance. It's gone. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. But I can't blame Peter. Christ was supposed to be royalty. Where's the royal treatment here? Wait a minute. Jesus is going to suffer? Jesus is going to be rejected? He's supposed to be worshipped. He's supposed to be honored. Wait a minute, this is what we've been waiting for. But Peter has a lot of nerve. Can you imagine looking at Jesus Christ and rebuking him? I'm not that brave. I'm not that brave, and I don't have the desire to do that. This lets us know that even though Peter has just said the words, he still doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. A suffering Messiah? Rejection? Murder? Doesn't make any sense. None. Peter goes from utmost praise to being called Satan. Ouch. How often does Jesus not live up to our expectations? Are we so different? How many times do we think Jesus should fill in the blank? And he doesn't do it. He's not the kind of Christ we want or maybe expected. So many people, when they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, think it's going to be a perfect, wonderful life. But Jesus even promises we're going to suffer. He promises that. That's not a nice thing. But it's in that suffering that we get to know him. And that we draw closer to him. So what have your expectations been? Mine have boiled down to one. I expect him to be with me. I expect him to have the best plans for my life. No matter how it feels. When I've gone through the tough times, that's all I've had to hold on to sometimes. I trust him. I trust him. He is the Son of the living God. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. What? Wait, he's the king. He's a king. If I'm going to follow the king, shouldn't I get royal treatment? Shouldn't I get royal treatment? What is this stuff about denying myself? The word for deny means, in the Greek, to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone, To forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. How often do we forget our own interests? To lose sight of that. It's not to be about what matters to me or to you. What about how I think worship should be? Don't I get to have it my way? I'm the pastor and I don't get to have it my way. I get a lot of it, but not all of it. Well, what about my identity as a Christ follower, or as a covenanter? What about how I think the church should treat me? Any of you ever have that feeling? Some people have been badly hurt by the church. Do you have the right to be treated a certain way? What about that other Christian who hurt me? What about that? What about my needs? This is America. What about my needs? What about what I'm entitled to? We are to deny ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about us. Nope. Jesus showed us. He showed us what this means. He denied his own divinity to become man, to become flesh. And I love this passage. You're going to, if we hang out together for a few years, and I trust we will, you're going to hear this passage so many times because it's so helpful. It's from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 2 to 8. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind. This is for all of us. Having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, listen carefully, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Now listen to what Jesus did to show us the way. Let the same mind be in you and me that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For me, that's one of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament. And you know what is interesting? That was actually a hymn. You know, we sang a lot of things this morning. That's a hymn. That's one of two hymns in the New Testament that we know of. We must be able to say, as we did in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, thy will be done. Thy will. And then Jesus says, take up your cross. Okay, it's not enough. Not enough just to deny yourself. It's not enough. Remember, this is really important. This is before Jesus is connected to the cross. We read that passage and we go, yeah, we get that. He took up his cross. Wait a minute, that hadn't happened yet. That had not happened yet. So when they're hearing these words, they're thinking of these horrific criminals and how brutalized they are as they go and they are crucified. They don't know yet. They haven't gotten it. But that's the way Jesus is going to die. Sounded very strange to them. Take up your cross. Head for execution. Jesus expects us to be willing to follow him even to the point of losing our lives. To walk a road of being despised and doomed. That's what carrying a cross to being crucified was. It is the ultimate execution of the self. And he says, and follow me. Follow the way he has chosen, not the way we have. He says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life?" If we are more about staying safe than being Jesus' disciple, we may stay alive, but we will lose our identity as being his. Do you remember the story at Columbine that came out of Columbine? Some of you, I don't even know how long this is, so maybe I'm dating myself. Anybody remember how long ago Columbine was?
19 years ago.
Will is awesome. Okay, so Columbine is what was the first hugely publicized school shooting. And in Columbine, it's in Colorado, I believe. Am I correct? At the school, the people who went in, it wasn't this random like what just happened in Florida. They asked people if they believed in Christ. And one after another, they said, "Oh." They came to this one young girl, and she proclaimed him. And she was shot. That's what we are asked. To have that commitment that we would rather lose our life on earth than lose our life in eternity. What can we gain through having this understanding? What things are we willing to give up? Our time? Our resources? Our control? Our own thought on how ministry should go on rows of chairs. So I'm going to remember you're going to be up here. I found out yesterday at the leadership team meeting that somebody, I'm not going to look at them, has been sneaking chairs back in. Do you remember when I pulled out rows of chairs? Somebody's been sneaking them in. And it's taking all of my control not to look at the person. Our style of worship, our intimacy as a congregation, the more new people that come in, oh my gosh, it's different and it's wonderful. Are we willing to be more about following Jesus than anything else? It's hard to give up things that are near and dear to our hearts, but Jesus gave up his divinity, his dignity, and even his life. In Lent, this period right now before Easter, we join him in the grief and in the suffering. But Easter's coming. Easter's coming! 2 weeks. 2 weeks. We've got so many wonderful things planned for Holy Week. You'll get, those of you that are on our e-flyer list, you'll get that. You'll have all the information. The resurrected Christ, after his ascension, did not look like the Jesus that came to earth as a man. He was glorious. Will we be able to experience that glory and to shine it amongst all of us here and amongst all of the people that we know? Can we deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, and be happy to do it? Be joyful to do it. Would you please pray with me? Lord Jesus, yes. Help us to understand for each one of us what you are calling us to do. Lord, if there are those who don't know you, let them invite you into their hearts that they can have this joy, that they can have the promise that you walk with us through everything. Lord, we thank you for your holy word and what we can learn from it. Lord, be with us now. Be with us during the next week as we live out the